Well, everybody, welcome regular session of Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners, the following meeting order. Where are we at? Have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Here.
Commissioner Rowe.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And starting off tonight with commission reports, Commissioner Hill.
I'd just like to say, I'm sure this will come up in the meeting a little bit right away, but I'm really sorry I missed the meeting with Jabadi. I'm just hoping to hear how well all of that. Sorry I missed it.
Thank you. Commissioner Spence?
Yes, I completed the certificate of completion required by the state. So that we understand the public meetings law. And it was 16 minutes long. And as I understand it, all the commissioners have to take that sometime this year. So for the record, I have a certificate. That's all I have.
Commendable. Thank you. Mr. Rowe.
I'm glad that I did meet with Dr. Jabadi and his visit at the port, and he asked some really great questions. I was there for only the first portion of it, so the tour went on. But one thing he did ask that I thought was an excellent question when we outline our ideas and plans, he asked, well, what will that return? And I know we have the information, but to be able to have it off the cuff. Like, if we were able to execute all our plans, what would that return to the port? Just thinking about that, what would that return to the community? Get and a phase of the boatyard and fleet. How much more additional revenue would it bring? How much additional activity? So I think something for Shane and for all of us, just to have that on the cut as we're trying to answer that question.
We're going to start the advisory committee back up.
Airport,
yeah. The second key to the medic.
Excellent. Thank you for the work on that. Myself, Director and I met with Mayor Fitzpatrick, the City of Astoria, and the City Manager. We discussed potential mutual projects that we might look at and work together on. And we were there for an hour and a half. And we ended, and everyone thought it'd be a good idea if we held these meetings frequently, like about every quarter, because there are so many mutual interests between the city and the port. I also, like Commissioner Rowe, I attended the closest meeting we had with Representative Jabadi. And like Commissioner Rowe, I know that he had an interest and some details on what the port was doing. And paid attention to the presentations that we gave him. He took many notes, and I think it was a good meeting, but one of the best things he said when he left, he said, if you have issues that you need help with, call me. I know that's a common thing that the people say, but he was still really good. And that's all I have to report. Are there any changes or additions to our agenda tonight? morning. Rick Rice, are we going to have someone from one of our tenants coming in tonight? Or?
No.
No, okay, so we don't have any changes. Well, then it's time for public comment. This is for items on the agenda that are not covered by a public hearing. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any item on the agenda. Public comment received will be read aloud at the meeting.
No comments.
And seeing none, it's time for our consent calendar. These are items that we can give our consent to be passed without a formal motion for each one. We have a meeting minutes. And you want to separate out the financial story?
No.
Second.
A motion to second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Consent calendar is accepted. So we have an action item with the team two. The Central Waterfront Development request for expressions of interest at page 22. Director Isaac.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we're actually expecting we might get a bit of a turnout for tonight's meeting, given the subject matter to be discussed, but I was obviously wrong in that assumption. But nevertheless, I think this is a really important step forward for the port. So as a bit of review, we had engaged with the city of Astoria about 3.5 years ago now to work on our Astoria Waterfront Master Plan. And one of the keystone pieces of that master plan was the development around our West Basin Marina, which obviously includes the current Riverwalk Inn Hotel. And so that process took approximately 24 months. And then ultimately, late last year, we were able to get the adequate zoning changes needed in order to implement many elements of the plan. And so since that time, the port had engaged with Mark Popkin and his team at Popkin Real Estate to help us not only in this planning area, but with some other properties across the port when it comes to development, potentially buying and selling property, as well as some assistance with our leases. So Mark is with us tonight and has helped us significantly get to this point where now on tonight's action agenda, we have a request of expressions of interest for redevelopment of that property. Also with us tonight, to your left, sitting to Mark's right, is John Southgate. John was heavily involved in the waterfront master planning process. He was actually contracted through the city of Astoria to be the primary consultant on that project. And through that, in our experiences with John, we quickly learned that his knowledge and expertise in this area was really, really valuable. And so we are fortunate to have both of them here tonight, and they both played a significant role in developing this expression of interest, because I think on the surface for some folks, I think this could seem more simplistic than it actually is. And when you start digging into the details of all of the tentacles in a large scale development like this, you quickly realize that you need to proceed with caution so that you don't end up getting yourselves into a position that, whether it's financial liability or legal liability, you don't kind of get yourself into a pickle. And obviously with the history of the current hotel, the port having gone through numerous rounds of litigation in the past over the management of that facility, we wanted to make sure that we set a path forward that was going to be in the best interest of the port and could mitigate some of the risk that could potentially arise. And so I won't steal too much of their thunder here, but I just wanted to kind of set the stage for this process and let the commission know how much work has gone into this to get to this point where we feel like we're ready to move forward and kind of the first big public step forward now in soliciting for some expressions of interest for how we might move forward. So I guess with that, I'll first introduce John Southgate, who's going to talk in a little bit more detail about the actual document you have in front of you and some of the implications of that document. So John.
Thanks, Will. Good afternoon, Chair Stevens, members of the board. It's a real pleasure to be here, especially having worked with your team several years ago on the master plan. Where to start? I think we were just talking right before the meeting. This is really what's before you tonight, this afternoon, is a major implementation piece of that master plan. I think by most or all of you are pretty familiar with the master plan. I think it created this great vision for taking really an extraordinary site, your waterfront, and making it some kind of a mixed-use development over time that we'll all be proud of and seizes on the features of the site. As a native Oregonian, everybody knows the story. When I tell people, where are you working around right now, John mentioned the story, you always get a look of recognition. You don't get that when you mention Gladstone. I have other great clients that this is where Oregon's history begins. You all know that. And the opportunity to work with you, help you find suitable developers to make this a real special place is rewarding for me to have this opportunity. So thank you. I think Will already alluded to it. A key word to keep in mind as you look at this is flexibility. In my career, both as a public sector employee and then as a consultant for the last 12 years, a lot of times we like to use the RFP format, request for proposals. And what I learned in my career about Midway is an RFP demands a lot of developers who might want to submit on something. They're going to have to spend some money or get an architect to put at risk his or her time on doing some design work, doing performance and all that for a very specific program. And I guess one of the things I've learned is a little bit of humility that I may not know everything out there. I may not be the smartest guy in the room. And developers know more than I know. So rather than saying, I want this use, this many square feet, these design features, whatever, I would say, here's what we're trying to achieve. In this case, here's what the port of the story is trying to achieve. And this is a call to developers to tell us, who are you? What have you done? Convince us that you know what you're doing. And then what are your ideas for this problem? And those ideas may well be away. I didn't know we might be able to get that. Again, with an RFP, you're dictating the program. The heart of the RFEI, the request for expressions of interest, is on page 38 of your packet, page 10 of the document, the selection criteria. And if there's anything I would particularly urge your input on, is there at the top of the page, with input from Mr. Popkin and your staff, we crafted these selection criteria. And I'm hoping if you even have a moment to glance through them, is that capturing yet? Yeah, that's what we want to see. Something that capitalizes on this unique site, something that contributes to the long-term financial stability of the port, something that represents a responsible use of public funds. Some responses to this RFEI will probably say, I need help to make this thing pencil. I don't assume that, but if that were to happen, they need to be able to justify, say, I need some concessions on the ground lease, or I need you to help me get some early renewal dollars for infrastructure, whatever it is. If there's going to be some public investment, it's your prerogative to insist that they demonstrate, yeah, that's necessary and it's worth it. I'll back off, though. Those criteria are the basis. I'm going to go back to the word flexibility, especially for something like this. This is a large site. It's dozens of acres. And I'm going to describe the site a little bit in a moment. But this development offering doesn't say you need to submit on the whole thing. It says if you're, for instance, a hotel developer, that's probably the most obvious thing we're going after. Talk with Mr. Popkin. It sounds like there's a lot of qualified hotel developers who are interested, waiting for this thing to get issued. But maybe you have no interest in the other elements of this master plan. Okay, tell us why you should develop a hotel. But I think I would expect that you'll get other responses that speak to some of the other commercial development that's called for the master plan. I've mentioned flexibility on the program. I should put a caveat on that. You do have a master plan that represented thorough professional analysis and also extensive community input and engagement. And so we've included that master plan, the demonstration plan from the master plan, which is on page 7 of the operating, page 35 of your packet. On the bottom of the page, this is the demonstration plan says this is what development might look like. You can see there's space for a hotel. Number 6, roughly in the location of the part of the existing hotel. And then there's a variety of other commercial uses or activities. So that's a guide to what we expect to see. Someone may have a different, better idea. And again, I encourage you through this mechanism of the development offering to be open to it. But I'd say the burden is going to be on them to say, you know what? You guys missed something back in the master plan effort. You guys should look at this instead. In light of your selection criteria, in light of what you're trying to achieve. One other important point I want to make is that the master plan is sort of the framework for this offering. But in talking with Mark in particular early on and Matt, I gather there's potential interest in peers 2 and 3 as well, or at least in parts of those peers. And so this development offering is flexible enough to say, if you have an idea for peer 2 or a portion of it, or peer 3 or a portion of it, well, tell us about it. It might be something that technically not part of the master plan, but it's also going to help us achieve our goals for the board. I guess the last thing I want to say is back to page 38 of your packet, page 10, selection process, post-selection process. In talking to Mr. Popkin, I'm confident that he's already ginning up developer interest in these properties, in your property. There will be a process to select a developer or more likely developers, plural, for different parts of the site. Once you select that developer for this site or that site, the next step is an exclusive negotiating agreement, an ENA, for a period of several months. That's negotiable. And that's you enter into a pre-development phase, basically. So where they refine their program, refine their design. Technical studies may need to be done. There may need to be an environmental or a geotech or whatever. The goal is that the end of that ENA, exclusive negotiating agreement period, you now have a ground lease that has negotiated what the building looks like, the timing, what, if any, public participation they're looking for from you or from urban renewal or from some state government stores, the terms of that subsidy, et cetera. I'm getting ahead of things a little bit, but I want to just speak to what happens after we go through this process. November 14th is the deadline, sometime early in the new year. Get ahead of your staff that we will come before you and say, here's a recommendation for this site, this for the hotel or something. Did I miss anything, the gentleman, that I should cover otherwise?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
At what point do we get an architectural rendering of this? After we select possibly the best candidate?
Typically, yes. The offering, again, is flexible, doesn't require that you do drawings. But I've seen it probably about half and half. A developer will say, They may show a rendering of what they're proposing, or they may say, here's three examples. I did a similar project in Goose Bay, wherever. It's usually in after they've been selected that they start incurring costs. Frankly, you start incurring costs, at least staff costs, and evaluating and negotiating the terms of the deal. The reason why my template, the request for expressions of interest, says it requires architectural drawings, that means the developer is going to have to incur costs. There may be a developer out there who's a great developer, who's the sort of person you're looking for, but okay, do I want to spend $30,000-$50,000 on architecture and all that? And knowing that there's going to be a lot of competition. It's almost like pre-qualifying the developers. I wrote, now selected you to be the developer because you have a great portfolio of other projects. You have experience doing public-private partnerships like this. So we're going to select you. And it's sort of like, we're not getting married yet. We're going to get engaged. And at the end of the engagement period, that's when you have the nuptials, so to speak.
What about for the Central Waterfront Master Plan development of the city of Astoria? We were in a Zoom world at that point, so we didn't really see you, didn't really see us.
Right.
I thought that was a very thorough process, both from what your firm provided and also public engagement. And my read on that was it predominantly had to do with the Central Waterfront, which on your map, Action Page 35, didn't so much include Pier 3 or 2, but only maybe a sliver of Pier 1, where the office building is, not the portion where there's currently logs on it.
Right.
And so, my opinion, refer to everyone else's judgment, professional judgment, the map would be more focused on the Central Waterfront. Not the area where the logs are, not where anybody is, but that Marina Village Hotel, office building up to where the cruise ships tie up. So, yes, that's the way I look at it. And then, the other thing is that the criteria, I think you kind of talk about a little bit as far as demonstrated experience in financing and delivering the project similar in scope and quality. My concern is that we want to make sure that part of the selection criteria is they have to follow through with that timely manner. So I believe that the process that we went through with the city was getting the zoning laws straight was to create certainty, hopefully, for the developers in that Central Waterfront plan, in that envelope, so that they should have fewer difficulties in getting their projects off the ground, not having conflicting land use planning overlay areas to negotiate. So we left the other portions of the waterfront out of that, allowing the port to remain more afford.
If I may go back to your point about the time, the second to last bullet on that selection criteria, demonstrating experience in financing delivery. You also want something about timely delivery.
If that's adequate, I'm just expressing my concern. That's all. I hate to see it sit.
I think that's a good suggestion. And that's always one risk with the dog offering is. You select a developer, and you got to kind of keep them close, the range close. That if you say just take as long as you need, you may wait a long time. So we're choosing you because you have a track record and you've committed in response to getting this thing done in time and fashion. Be able to attract a buyer, whatever, summer of 2025, whatever it goes. It's a holding them to that. I think it's a good suggestion. Or at least think that's something that we're going to take attention to.
That's my point.
Is it your idea or plan that
when we solicit for the developer, that the developer just wanted to focus on the hotel or on the complete redevelopment after the river walk there is
leveled. Yeah. Thank you for asking that. It's really as much of the site as we can get interest in. It seems like the hotel is the focus of most interest and discussion. But actually, Mr. Popkin is closer to that.
Thanks for having me. Partly what we're saying is we don't know yet who we are going to attract. We're going to put our net out and see what we end up with. And we don't want to say we only want, like most of the hotel clients that I work with, they're hotel specialists. They don't necessarily want to deal with other things. And then somebody who might be interested in the other portion, but they don't know anything about running a hotel or managing a hotel. But maybe we have a developer that comes in and is happy to do all of that. So the idea here, bringing sort of back to flexibility, is let's set up this initial stage, this initial phase, cast as wide a net, and then use our criteria and other criteria to sort of narrow it down and decide what we want to go with, and then narrow it down again and pick somebody based on maybe different criteria than even what we know or think of today, when we see what we actually get. Most of the interest probably is going to be more directly related to the hotel, because we all sort of know hotel clients, and we have people that we know are hoteliers, and so it goes out for that. That's going to be it. And I gave a couple different scenarios when John and I were talking earlier. Like, a lot of times the hoteliers will go into a development and they'll have somebody that they've worked with previously who's done some other component. So they'll partner up with them and bring them into the mix or those kinds of things. So that would be a scenario as well.
When does a lease on the Riverwalk end expire?
October of last year.
When?
October of 2025.
Okay, here. So I'm pleased we're doing early planning. I think I read or heard somewhere that there is an interest by various hotel groups that would be eager to move in. By leveling Riverwalk in, I had to ask the measurement, they cover 900 feet of area around the marina, so that drops the open view is going to be fantastic for the public and for a developer. So I'm glad we're doing it. I did say before that the day that the Riverwalk in is level, that the ground can be broken for a new hotel. So glad we're starting early into this whole process.
I'm glad too. I'm really excited about being able to work on it. For me, it's a very exciting project to be able to share with clients and with different people in the community, and being able to represent support and trying to do something really special. So it's extremely excited about what we need.
Have we made a motion to approve this? What do you want to ask about it, or do you want someone to ask with terms of?
So maybe we could use the term substantially as submitted. I think of a copy you have, you still have a few
marks.
Well, we have the point you had brought up about adding a timing component, also some of the photos. We have just inserts right here in the packet you received. We don't have the final photo yet. So if it would be okay with the commission having a motion to approve substantially as presented, I think would suffice.
See if Commissioner Hill has any questions when we look presented.
I got one more question though. Seems to me it would be to our advantage to try to attract a brand name hotel would be interested in the restaurant and convention facility all in one. That's what dragged in the people from out of town.
I sometimes, you know, if I look at the Cannery Pier Hotel, I would say that that property has its uniqueness that it got built under and looked at as has been a huge jewel for Astoria as well, without necessarily being a brand name. A brand name sometimes has an advantage because it's usually they have a lot more restrictions on the design and what they can do and the type of rooms that they have to do and other things. So sometimes having a flag brand name can be a disadvantage as well. So I probably would hold off on thinking that it very well may be. And a lot of times it starts off with not being a brand name or a flag, and then they end up shifting it to a flag name later if they want to sort of attract a marketplace, like with their infrastructure and with being a brand. But I'm not opposed to it. It definitely is, you know, it can help as well.
It seems to me that would be all one bundle that doesn't have a tendency to draw in the people.
We'll see.
Question now on my end. You're right, this is a wide net still passing here. And we say that it is a keystone of development. And is the hotel more like a cornerstone of that keystone in your mind?
I compared it earlier to like having a shopping center and not having an anchor tenant.
There you go. Yeah, I
think that's sort of where I would go, is that it's hard to run the other stores when the anchor tenant goes out of business.
Yes, exactly. So if I want to envision a critical path for development, I think the hotel is there where we look at a small guy who wants to build a convenience store property,
I think that if we have somebody who's trying to do a convenience store, that's going to have a hard time meeting the goal.
I understood.
But I know what you mean.
This process that the deputy's director concept of being the lead blocker when a schooler went out at the airport, the idea was to develop that enterprise, the infrastructure simultaneously can serve other clients. The hotel is the elephant in the room, the keystone of the capsule or whatever. And that would be the first step, and then everything else kind of falls
probably,
after that.
Probably. I guess that, you know, like, if somebody has some amazing vision for the other part, that they are thinking that this is going to be something, then it may end up flip-flopping or reversing that way. And I don't know if we're going to get there.
I hope, you know, in the selection process, somebody who has an appreciation for the complexity of or the building and zoning laws. I move we approve the request for expression of interest substantially as presented and publish the solicitation, submission schedule, and relevant dates are included in the request for expression of interest.
Thank you. Motion is second. And a second. Discussion. Okay, bring up this inevitability. I guess it would be an opportunity to offer whether he's going to level it or reuse it again, since it's valuable over water that could be used again in the development. So I suspect we know the decide whether you keep it or not.
There's surely, if you go by that diagram, which is in the master plan, a big area that we're dealing with, and I think that's, it adds to the complexity of what we're doing with that. I don't think it's wrong to focus depending on what we get in from the sponsors on that hotel as a first step. Does the staff envision that we would want to focus on the hotel?
I think for sure, at least to have a plan set forth, because what becomes difficult with not only some of the other development, but if you look through the master plan, there's a lot of talk in there about public access, so parking, traffic patterns, pedestrian walkways, lighting. Well, all of that stuff is really difficult to plan for if you don't have the plan for the hotel, which is going to take up the most room, the most square footage, is going to bring in the most vehicles. So by having that in place, it makes all those other things that are contemplated in the plan, as well as smaller developments, much easier. Because what you don't want to do is move forward with some of those things or smaller developments that ultimately cause you a problem when you're trying to develop the hotel. That's where I think this is, even before it's actually constructed, but to have a definitive plan in place for what it's going to look like, footprint, things like that, that then we can plan around. And we may be able to move forward with some of these other things before the completion of the hotel, but knowing what the hotel will be so that we're not sort of stepping on that project and causing issues unforeseen down the road.
I assume the economic magnitude of the development of the hotel will allow things like street access, parking, as part of that project. Our plan is just to make sure that that's a contradict anything else, the other option that's outlined already, but that would be the source of funding for accomplishing some of those streets and parking.
And we should acknowledge the current operator of the hotel could also submit an interest.
Correct.
Okay. That's what we'll be able to realize. Any further discussion? Hearing none, motion to second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? And the unanimous decision. Thank you, gentlemen. I sure appreciate you coming by again.
Thank you.
Not everybody left.
For the record, Gladstone's a great town. Why? So, yeah.
Well, our next item is public comment for non-agenda items. Before I read the whole thing, can you move on? Director Ison, it's time for executive director comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I have a few items here, and some of these were already touched on during commission comments, so I'll just add a few things. I guess reiterating a little bit of what Commissioner Stevens talked about, we did have a meeting with Mayor Fitzpatrick, as well as City Manager Spence last week. And to add a little bit of color to that, really the theme of the meeting was around urban renewal dollars. There's, I think, approximately $5 million that is in the urban renewal fund at the city. And so we talked through kind of the different parameters the city was looking at in terms of what types of projects they're looking to support, what sort of the end game is. And a big piece of that is economic generation and ultimately through that investment, recovering some of that investment through tax dollars that the city would receive. And so we talked about a number of projects. I think that the area that was of the most interest to the city, because it aligned pretty nicely with those dollars, was having to do with our boatyard expansion. So we talked about both the idea of a new lift, as well as infrastructure and buildings that were going to be required. And I think, you know, those projects are something that could quite easily be tied to jobs, family wage jobs in the area. And then ultimately, especially with buildings as we lease those spaces out, that would over time be recovered to the city through tax dollars. And so as the commissioner pointed out, we do plan to meet at least quarterly. I have a recurring meeting with the city manager We meet every couple of weeks, but having the mayor and the president of our commission involved, I think is really helpful as we move this process forward. The city manager did not have an exact date, but I think either later this month or November, at a city council workshop, they do plan on discussing urban renewal dollars. And so the port will want to make sure that we have a participation in that meeting. But it was encouraging to hear from them, and I think they both sounded very supportive of kind of port business in general, but more specifically, really supportive of the Boatyard Master Plan. And it sounded like, obviously, they can't speak for the whole council, but I think in general, this is a project that I think would have very little opposition. And so I think that was important, too, is trying to find a project that met the criteria that we weren't going to face significant headwinds. And I think with our boatyard, how that supports particularly the commercial fishing industry, which is you know, I consider to be a part of the real fabric of Astoria, I think is going to be widely supported by the council and by the community. So definitely a good meeting with them. And then just piggybacking a little bit on the comments that were made regarding Dr. Javity's visit late last week. It was good to have him out here. He obviously has a lot going on right now with an election coming up here in a month. But he did take, as Commissioner Stevens pointed out, copious notes as we were going through some of the various issues of the court. And sometimes I don't know how to handle these situations in terms of there are definitely a lot of good things that are happening at the port, and there's a lot of progress, but the fact is there still remains a lot of challenges, and many of those challenges have a very high price tag. And sometimes when you start presenting these challenges, you can see that the folks listening, their eyes start to glaze over and it becomes a bit overwhelming. But I thought it was important with Dr. Javity to really not sugarcoat things. And so right away, we kind of went into some of the big ticket items, whether it's, you know, Pier 2 and all of the challenges and getting that project to the finish line. We talked a lot about dredging and the issues that we have and why they're unique to Astoria during our tour. We took him down to the East End as well so he could get his eyes on the East End mooring basin and what a challenge that presents in the future. And so I'm hopeful that having that meeting will, you know, obviously inform the representative of the challenges, but also kind of open more of those lines of communication between him and the port. You know, he's a busy guy. He currently still runs his dental practice while also serving. And so to be able to get several hours with him on a Friday, I think was it showed that he does want to prioritize the port and it has a real interest in the port moving forward.
I wanted to add something I should have mentioned during my comments. Commend the staff for their work setting this up. We had stumbled over a thing while he was here. It was a really smooth visit. We had a working lunch. And thank you to the staff for pulling this off. I don't think a whole day out of your office work. Thank you again for your help. You're lead on this project. Thank you.
And then two other quick updates. One of them is a CBP, a customs update. I did have a chance this morning to talk with Congresswoman Bonamici's office. They have met with some of the leadership at CBP. It sounded like in the first meeting they had, it was mostly around kind of the facts of the issue. And I was happy to hear that Espen let me know that in general, they were in agreement to the facts. So it's not as if we were presenting something and they were saying, well, no, the situation is different. So that was good to hear. The challenge still remains of then how to solve the issue, both on the capital side as well as the labor side. And Espen said they are making progress, but could not give me a timeline. As kind of a side to this, I did receive an email that was forwarded earlier today from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management saying that they had saw the article in the newspaper and that they may have some resources or ideas on how the state could assist with this issue. And so I will be following up with that. Just wanted to make the commission aware that that communication had happened. So don't have anything real groundbreaking to report other than we're continuing down the road of finding a solution. And then lastly, at our last commission meeting, we had approved the purchase of the Bales hangar. And so that should close tomorrow. So we will have, Mark Popkin will be here. We'll sign the final documents and get the monies wired, and that should be a done deal. So along with that, we do continue to work with Business Oregon. Melanie has been working with Melanie Olson of Business Oregon to get the financing in place. So that is moving forward and should close tomorrow. So that concludes my comments.
A quick question. I think the last time we talked about financing, it was more towards the bank, but it's slightly Oregon Business at all.
So I think as far as initial financing, you're going to go forward with Business Oregon. The terms were just much better, especially with the interest rate on what we could get. Also, we're exploring some options on the back end for some grant funding. And if we went through traditional bank, there was going to be early payoff penalties. Whereas with Business Oregon, we can pay that off with no penalty.
Okay. The west side of Pier 2, you had reported that the deterioration was continuing, getting worse, yet the timetable is spread out into next year. That traffic had to be limited on the west side. Where does that stand? There were temporary plannings put in, but I don't know if that helps to modify or save what's happening, the deterioration.
Yeah, so this is frustrating is probably the word, but you know, obviously we have a known issue of a deteriorating pier, and right now we're working through the process in terms of pre-construction of getting this project completed, but construction, best case scenario, will not start for more than a year. And so we did two weeks ago now, have P&D come out for a site visit. They actually got in the water and got a visual inspection of the condition of the pier based on our own maintenance crew's report that there were some concerns. And so we've been working with Brian, the engineer at P&D, in terms of some immediate repairs or fixes that we can do in order to kind of limp us along until the complete rebuild gets done. So between the engineering firm, our maintenance team, and a local contractor, we're working on a plan. We've also been in pretty constant communication with the seafood processors, particularly DAC Foods, about the issues. And so they're well aware of kind of where those hotspots are and the fact that we're working towards a short-term solution. They've cordoned off some of the areas to make sure that we're not having heavy traffic across those. And so kind of just doing the best we can to limp this thing along while at the same time trying to have the least amount of impact to their business as possible. And you know, right now they're in the middle of cake season, and so there's a lot of activity. And so it is a bit of a juggling act to try to get these repairs done, make sure everybody is safe, while at the same time not having a significant impact on their business. And so it's just part of the challenge of having a pier that's in the shape that it is, and unfortunately can't move forward with the construction side of the solution for a while longer.
When you say immediate, how soon?
As far as the repairs?
Yes.
Matt, you can talk and talk to
Steve.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Further question? We have some upcoming meeting dates. We will have a workshop session October 15th, 4 p.m., a regular session November 5th at 4 p.m. Are they further than anything in the dark?